podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
If you missed last Sunday's message and you've just come back from wherever you have gone, it's back to Singapore, I strongly urge you to go to our website, whether that's my website or the church's website, look for last Sunday's message. It's important. I preface it as having the best year ever. And I did say that this last year was the church's best year ever and my own personal best year ever. And that we should live looking forward to having the best year of our life. And the message last Sunday gives you a strategy for how you can do that. In fact, if you've listened to it last week, I urge you to listen to it 1, 2, 3, 4 times until you're actually living it. And part of the problem of Christians is they hear a good message and they tick it off or they rate the preacher without putting into action the thing that they heard. This message is a continuation of last Sunday. Last Sunday, we looked at Isaiah chapter 60. And we talked about this verse from Isaiah that says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." And we broke it down into the various facets of light and how light is a powerful tool in seeing the fulfillment of your best year ever, because if you can't even see in front of you, the chances of seeing the good year at the end of the year is pretty much a dark thing. Now today we're talking about a verse in Isaiah chapter 60, where the prophet Isaiah begins to prophesy and speak these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's speaking about the source of this light. Whereas Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the universe, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness." And he declares, "Let there be light." When you start the beginning of your year, you want to start with light and clarity. But the key is the source of that power. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The source is important as the light is important. In the Old Testament and the ancient times, oil was always associated with light. The source of light was oil. In other words, if you didn't have oil, you couldn't have light. This prophecy that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, when Jesus came into the scene in the New Testament, this was literally one of his first messages ever. He begins to declare this prophecy and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." In other words, the way this works is you have to understand that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you because he's anointed you. Everybody say anointed. And that's in some circles a very weird word. People say when you're anointed, and my whole point today is for you to understand what that means. You're not just the anointed one. We are all anointed of God. In fact, the whole point of Jesus' message was as he comes into the scene, all of us can experience the power of God, the anointing of God, hence the light of God to fulfill the best year ever. When the word says anointed in Scripture, it speaks of the word chosen. When David was crowned king, he was anointed. He was chosen. When Solomon was chosen, when Saul was chosen, when anybody was chosen, whether for ministry or for whatever purpose, they were anointed. In other words, they were chosen. And that's what this means. If you start your year, you want to make sure you understand that you were chosen by God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." This is speaking about Jesus coming to earth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that they might receive adoptions as sons. There's a fundamental difference between being a naturally born child to your parents and someone who's adopted. When you're born to your parents, and if you were born to your parents, don't feel bad, amen? Thank God that you have parents. You weren't chosen. You just came out. When you're adopted, you were chosen. Somebody went out of his way and said, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your background is, regardless of how you look, I choose you. That's why the Bible doesn't say we were just born to God. We were adopted by God. He chose us. When you start your year knowing I'm chosen, There's something about you that's different. There's a child that knows that he was chosen regardless of what he has accomplished or not accomplished. There's a power inside of him, a kind of revelation that gives him power, that creates the light, that allows him to walk the path, that allows him to receive mercy and forgiveness regardless of whatever is exposed by the light in his life. An ability to believe that you're special. I don't have to push my own car. I don't have to produce that. I don't have to make it happen. I am special simply because I was chosen. Start your year this way and you're going to be confident. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. But the other side of this, and there's a big but here, not B-U-T-T, amen? One T. On the one hand, we are chosen and we're special, but there's the other side to this choosing, where it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, but he chose what is foolish. Okay? So while you're special, you're really not that special. The only reason why you're special is because the one who chose you is special. You can't be special if you're detached from God. You won't have the power and the light if you don't know how to access God on a regular basis. And he chose you, and that Greek word choosing means to be something deliberate. He went out of his way. It wasn't by chance. He chose you and me. I'm chosen. Nothing to do with me. In fact, it says he chose what is foolish in this world. The Greek word moros. We have a Greek lady who's sitting amongst us, and I met her at the lobby earlier. I said, how do you pronounce this? I was just making sure I don't bastardize your language. Where do you get the word moron? Somebody who's dumb, somebody who's not worthy, somebody who's cheap, somebody who doesn't have the making and the ability. That's how you understand God chose you, you're special, but he also chose the foolish things to shame the wise, the sophos, the sophisticated. So that you can't brag, so that you know that you know that you know that while I'm special, I remain humble because I know it's not about me. It's about this power source that gives me the light to arise and shine, to be the person that I'm supposed to be. God chose what is weak in the world to shame. That word shame is to confound, to surprise the seemingly wise people of this world, the sophisticated, the guys that have it all together, that you, the guy who doesn't have it all together, are shining bright and walking in confidence and have all of life put together, not because of you, but because God chose you. An important, what you believe creates mindsets. What you believe in your mindsets create attitudes, and what we believe that and minds and attitudes make you walk this out on a daily basis. It's not a Sunday preaching. It's not coming to church on Sunday and hearing a message and rating it. It's listening to the word and renewing your mind over and over and over again until you actually walk this out. I'm chosen. I had nothing to do about it. I was just adopted. Makes me special. But I'm also weak, in many ways a moron. But thanks be to God, if I stay connected, I will have the power and I'll have the light. Further, he says, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. He says, he chose that whole idea of choosing to confound, to the deliberate, the nobodies. You should be glad when you're a nobody, amen? Some of you don't like that. We all want to be in Facebook and we all want to be celebrities. Nothing wrong with Facebook, nothing wrong with posting things for as long as you're letting that light shine so you can influence others. If you're trying to make that light shine so that people will look at you, your light will run out. You need oil. You need anointing. Even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. In other words, the nobodies, to shame the somebodies. Remember the few weeks ago, I told you the story of an incident at the airport where I met this man who fell on his head and bled and had to run there. And I told you the story of this man who was in the elevator with me, and we saw each other, and he met me. He talked to me and said, "Pastor Joey, right?" I said, "Yeah." I mean, and he started to engage me. And as we were walking, we saw this man fall, and we ran, and then we eventually caught up in Singapore and said, could I have coffee with you?" So I had a meal with him and his wife, got to meet them, and they told me their long story. They were executives for Citibank, and she was an executive for another large company, and they were in their 20s when they moved here, very successful. And then they felt like they were going to start a business in the Philippines, and they moved there, and for some reason, it didn't work out the way they'd planned. And the money was dwindling, and the resources were, it was hard for them. And I said, and I finally caught up with them in December to have dinner in their home. And I went inside the home, and it's beautiful. And I said, "Tell me your story again, because I've forgotten." So they repeat the story and how they almost lost everything. And I said, "So again, how did you end up in church?" "Oh, let me introduce to you Maria Janoy. She's been our helper for 9 years. And you know what? Every time we see her, we're blown away. Because there's something about her. There's a peace, there's a joy, there's actually an excellence about her. She's from Bacolod in the Philippines." "From your town, probably." "And when she moved back, then they moved back, she came with them, and they said when they were losing everything, she boldly went to them and said, 'You need my God. That's what you need. You may be sophisticated, you may be wise, you may have everything, but you know, someday you're going to need my God.'" That's what brought them to church. It happened to be the day when I was preaching. And God them kept coming back, and literally this woman whom God chose as a nobody, the foolish things of this world, the despised of this world, who chose to be connected to her God, to have the power so that she may be the light. I hope that's your year this year. That you're not, what I said last week again, cramming your itinerary with more schedules, more seminars, more apps, more, how do I make more money? You know what? You do what God wants you to do, and you'll have everything. That's the promise of Scripture. "I will add all these things to you." Now, further in verse 28, the second half, it says, "so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." The whole point of this is attention of knowing I'm chosen and I'm special, but at the same time, it's not for me to boast about it. It's for me to bask in it and to enjoy it and to walk in it and to have the confidence and the peace of God that knows I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I'm already special. But it keeps me humble, attached to God, because I know that specialness or specialty comes from Him and only from Him. Now, this idea of being chosen as a second part. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race." So there's a choosing that God chooses you and adopts you and makes you special and keeps you humble. But there's a choosing where He says, this word choosing means the word electos. Sorry if I said that right or wrong. You're elected. You've been designated. You've been ordained. There's no changing it. In other words, it's really just you. If you don't walk in it, then you're not going to see it. But if you do walk in it, it's done. You're a chosen race, a chosen genos. Genes that are special. A spirituality that's different. Not religion. Not practices, not tradition, not going to church, not your beliefs, but God, the supernatural, God's genes, spiritual genes inside of you has been elected. I don't have anything to do with it. He chose me, he elected me, and he gave me these supernatural genes. Hear me this morning, folks. Trade your all-time religion for the truth of God's word and live the life of the power of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. A royal priesthood. There is royalty written all over me. I am a child of a king. Got nothing to do with it. There's royalty written in my lineage. Got nothing to do with my grandfather. There might actually be thieves up there in my line. For sure, there were adulterers, many of them. But I've been adopted by a king. And I've changed. I'm part of a holy nation. There's a separation. I live differently. I disconnect from people I need to disconnect with. I disconnect with thoughts and videos and stuff that I don't need in my life. I disconnect because I'm separated for the purpose of why I was chosen. That's the second part. Yes, you're special and you need to be humble and connected. But there's a side of this. But God's not the one who's going to separate you. He's the one who chooses you. You choose to be separated. Well, you're quiet this morning. A people for his possession. Father, I'm yours. I'm separated. The actor, Neil McDonough, you probably don't know him as well. He's supposed to be a superstar by now, but never made it. He's one of the major stars of the Band of Brothers. If you ever watch the Band of Brothers, he was one of the main stars. He never made it because when he was doing scenes in movies, they would reject him. And when he got on an ABC show, they rejected him because a Hollywood actor cut from ABC show for refusing to do sex scenes is glad he's stuck by his Christian values. He was separating himself from not being promoted and saying, despite the fact that I may lose the celebrity status, that I may lose what seemingly the world has for me, I choose to be possessed by my God and to live the life that God ordained for me. My prayer is that's going to be your choice this year. That when you see something that is not of integrity, that's a shortcut, that is not the righteous thing to do, that you would say, no, it's not for me. Last night I had dinner with some people who were invited to, we were sharing the gospel, trying to share the gospel to some of them. And one of them talked about integrity, and I was explaining about how integrity is being who you are wherever you are. That when your children see you preaching, they should be sitting down there and saying, that's my dad, that's not someone else. I hope that when you're in church, you're one thing, and when you're out of church, you're still the same person, amen? That light is still shining bright. Now, let me try and close this message. You're chosen, anointed, not just chosen, but separated for a purpose. You're not just chosen and separated just so you could be chosen and separated. There's a purpose for it. Jesus, in Luke 4:18, says, he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He's anointed me, chosen me, separated me so that I can proclaim, declare, speak, say it in different ways on a daily basis. You need to be proclaiming the good news to the poor. The first place you should be doing that is to yourself. The good news is I've been chosen. The good news is I've been separated. The good news is I have confidence in Christ. The good news is there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The good news is that God has saved me. Last December, my wife and I were going to dinner at a mall in an area of the Philippines called Pasig. And we went to the mall, and my wife was checking out the ATM, and I stumbled into these people huddled at the coffee bean. And when I looked, I said, and these people, there were about 40, 45 of them. And oh, sorry, not December, this was in January. They were actually in a prayer meeting. This was right after Christmas. And these are members of our church in the Philippines. that are about to plant another church in another part of the city. Are you guys following? And before they make the plant, they actually go inside. By the way, the only reason why these guys are in Coffee Bean and Coffee Bean allows this is because the owner of Coffee Bean in the Philippines is a member of our church. Just to be clear, Coffee Bean's not a weird place. And then they started to pair up and declare there's going to be a church in this mall. There's going to be people who will see the light of Jesus in this mall. They began to speak and declare, not loud, not shouting, but declaring, because a declaration, a proclamation is really not whether you're shouting or speaking or whispering, it's in your heart. Do you have it or don't you have it? The people who believe in the grace of God, the power of God, the might of God, the fact that they're special and chosen will proclaim. The people who don't will not. It's as simple as that. Why? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When your heart is so full of this truth, you will speak. That's why listening to messages and making them real in your heart is very important. Now, further in verse 18, it says, He sent me to proclaim the liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and liberty to those who are oppressed. When I saw these guys, they saw me and said, Pastor Joey, wow, of all people to meet in the mall at a time like this. I said, we're praying for this. Can you give us a word of encouragement? We're on our way to the parking lot, and we're gonna pray together and make declarations there that God will open wide the heavens in this area, and many people will come to this church. If you ever go to the churches of every nation in the Philippines, there's thousands of them. There's thousands. There's 84, 85, 86,000 people in 40 different locations and about 90 other locations outside of Manila. Because people there proclaim and declare their faith. Are you here? A guy walked up to me and said, the parking lot, he said, Pastor, do you remember me? I said, how can I forget you? I'll never forget you for the rest of my life. I said, he grabbed his wife and said, this is my wife. This guy, I was preaching, I was a young preacher, I was preaching at our church at the Shangri-La. At the end of my message, I was about to end my message, and the Holy Spirit gave me a picture of a car that had a trunk that had suitcases in it. And I'm not Pastor Larry, I'm not a prophet, amen? But sometimes God speaks to me. And then the Lord says to me, there's a man in this audience who's got his bags packed, and he's about to fly to Taipei and is going to leave his wife and never to come back again. Now, how many of you know if you were me, you're not going to proclaim that, amen? Because one is you look like you're grandstanding, you're trying to impress people. Number two, this is stupid. And if I'm going to be accountable to God, I need to make sure. So I'm standing there, I'm biding time, I'm delaying the moment, and I'm just wrestling whether I should say it. And so I finally just said, there's a guy, sorry guys, this is going to sound really weird. There's a guy here. This is the color of your car. You got the luggage, 3-4 pieces in your trunk. You're flying to Taipei, and you're not coming back. You're leaving your wife. And thus said the Lord, don't do it. Then I closed in prayer, and I went down, and I said, oh, my goodness, how stupid was that? The auditorium was empty. I was up front, and this man comes up, and he says, that's me. Pastor, thank you for obeying. And he said, this is my wife. The proclamation of the truth of Jesus Christ, whether in small prayers, in big prayers, in private settings, in whispers, in text messages, in phone calls, changes the destinies of people. And you and me, those that are saying we are the children of the light, should be proclaiming it. In fact, it says, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Declare it. The year's coming to a good place because God's favor rests upon me. As I close, for you Filipinos out there, please pray for Manny Pacquiao. Okay. He's fighting right now. For For you guys who are not Filipinos, Manny Pacquiao is he's an icon in the Philippines. He's probably, he grew up with nothing. He grew up with picking up scraps. I follow him on Instagram. You should. He's amazing. He's got 8 world titles in 8 different categories. There's no one has ever done what this man has done in boxing. His fight today is going to earn him about $15 million. That's the lowest level. By the pay-per-view, it'll probably end up around anywhere from $20 to $22 million. Every time he fights, that's how much he earns. But you know why I love Manny? Because he was a womanizer. He drank. He was crazy. And then he had an encounter with Jesus because a pastor friend of mine proclaimed the gospel to him. It changed his destiny. It changed his life. In fact, every time he ended a fight, he would kneel down in the corner and proclaim to millions of people. There's a private proclamation. There's a quiet proclamation. There's a prayer proclamation. There's a public proclamation. You and I have been chosen to be special. To know we're special, to stay humble, so we can remain connected, so we can walk in this grace, in this power, and that our light might shine, and that we be able to proclaim. To be anointed is to be chosen, to be separated, to choose to be separated for a purpose. Amen? Would you just pray with me? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you chose us. We're special. Special genes, God. But Father, at the same time, we understand we are the foolish things of this world. To confound the wise, that they might realize they need what we have. You. And Father, may we choose to separate ourselves from this world. Not to put them at arm's length, but that they may see our actions, our connections, our habits, our attitudes come from you. And Father, may we realize that we have a purpose on this earth. To proclaim the good news and to set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.